one of these great narratives, historical narratives, but that has so much to teach and instruct us and to show us by way of spiritual application with regarding salvation. And this evening I'm thinking of overcome or overcoming the world's propaganda. Things that are put out there, teachings, philosophies, beliefs, opinions, views, constantly expressed, and all in opposition to God's revelation in his book, the Bible, and indeed all therefore that would mislay, that would waylay, that would divert us from the way of truth and of finding forgiveness and peace with God. And this is our deepest, our greatest need, to be right with God, to be justified in his sight. Now, perhaps a little word of the setting and what's happening here. I did break in the middle of a narrative in chapter 19, and I'm basically going to be explaining so much from chapter 18. But you may, I hope, have gleaned that Israel, the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, I'll refer to it from now on, is under attack. It's being besieged by the king of Assyria, whose name is Sennacherib. Just prior to this besieging of Judah, the northern kingdom, some years previously, has fallen to the Assyrians. Sennacherib wasn't then the king of Assyria. One of his predecessors, a man by the name of Shalmaneser, was king then. He overwhelmed the northern kingdom, conquered it, and took the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes, into captivity. He has returned to Judah to conquer it. His expansionist program, he intends to subject them to tribute, to taxes. He is successful in his approach to Jerusalem. He has overrun the fortified cities outlying from Jerusalem and is now at the very gates. He has sent his officers to confront, to call to the king and the people within the city, basically to surrender. Now, let me read just some of the verses and then I will make some application. So I'm in chapter 18, 2 Kings 18, and at verse 13, we're told in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, which is 701 BC, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear, whatever tribute, whatever tax you require. Hezekiah initially says, I will pay you. But after a brief time, he rebels. He refuses to pay the tribute. And so, of course, Sennacherib, angered at this, brings his forces against the city and has his commanders address the people, address the city. I jump in now to verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabsheke from Lachish, his base, to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder. So the city is being challenged, and Jewish officials come to the walls to listen to what these military commanders tell them or inform them. And essentially, it's again, lay down your weapons or we will overrun you. We will destroy the city. We will destroy all within the city. Now, Hezekiah has taken a brave stance. And I want just to make some application relevant to ourselves. We'll come into this in parts, and hopefully it's clear, and well, you have a picture of what's happening, and we draw out our application from it. So in being confronted, these officials of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, say, look, don't let Hezekiah effectively encourage you to rebel. Don't let him encourage you to trust in your God. The gods of all the other nations that we have overrun could do nothing. Your God is just another God. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Now here we have, and I want to make my first application. The world is ignorant. The world has no knowledge in the things that truly matter. Now I'm drawing this from words that were spoken. Let me read them to you. These officials say to Hezekiah, officials listening from the walls, if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now here is their ignorance of the worship of Jehovah. Hezekiah indeed had led reforms in the land. He had taken away shrines where idol gods were worshipped. He had torn them down. He had led great reforms in the land. He had turned the people back to the true God from their idolatry. Now, one of these arguments put forth by the Assyrian officials is, look, hasn't Hezekiah torn down the places of worship in your land? Hasn't he introduced something new? Hasn't he opposed your God? How can you expect help from your God or blessing following what he's done? Well, here is their ignorance. Hezekiah had done what God wanted him to do, what God commanded him to do, to have the altar in Jerusalem and to worship in the temple, to be there with the appointed priests and so on. God clearly gave instructions with regards to authentic and genuine and acceptable worship. And Hezekiah has led reforms and brought the people back to this. So it is foolishness on the part of these Assyrian officials to suggest that no help will come to those in Jerusalem, and to Hezekiah in particular as their king, because of what he's done, pure ignorance. Now let me just challenge you and bring this up to date. This world is an ignorant world. Will you trust it? Will you trust its going views that are disseminated and propounded, or just filter out into society? Will you believe that which liberal theologians and ministers and vicars and so on tell us, that everybody gets to heaven after all? Will we take our information from such a source? Or do we believe the atheist? There is no God. There's no judgment. There's nothing beyond this world. This life is everything. It's oblivion. When you die, there is nothing else. Just as these folk were so ignorant with regards to the worship of God, so our world is ignorant with regards to the being of God, to the way of salvation, to be right with God. Indeed, they deny his existence in many, for much part. But look, you're not like them, or you wouldn't be in this meeting. But have you imbibed some other view, listened to some philosophy or opinion that isn't taken from God's truth, isn't taken from the scripture, the Bible? And you're living in a false hope, frankly. The world is ignorant. Don't take your information and teaching from any other source than from the Lord himself. And he has spoken to us. He's preserved his word that we might be made wise unto salvation, as the apostle was able to write to young Timothy. It was through the word he'd been brought to understand his need, and indeed every other person that's ever been converted has heard something of God's word, has heard a doctrine, had a text read, maybe minimal understanding and knowledge, but sufficient to bring them to faith and repentance, to cry out to Christ and Christ only for forgiveness and pardon. Well, may it be so of you. Secondly, the world speaks barefaced lies. It not only is ignorant and propounds its ignorance and shows its ignorance, it will tell you a lie, barefaced lies, as did these people. I'm jumping now down to verse 25. For they claim, and this is their claim, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. So they're now claiming that God is on their side, that Jehovah is with them, these Assyrians, who have worshipped all manner of gods. And now they say they have an allegiance to Jehovah, and it was he himself, the true God, who has sent them to destroy Jerusalem. They're lying. Of course, they just want the folk in Jerusalem to buckle down and to kowtow, to surrender. But you know, the world is full of lies. It will deceive you. Doesn't it tell you often all is well? Doesn't it tell you, and perhaps your own deceitful heart agrees with it, all is well, plenty of time, no rush, no hurry. Perhaps it lies again about the fact of judgment, there isn't really any judgment. You know, it's only if there is this accountability and judgment for sins, it's only for the most hideous of people. You're safe. You're not one of them. Doesn't the world lie to us again and again and again? Friends, don't be taken in again. Turn to God's word, the true source of knowledge with regards to the most vital things. Do you accept from the world that you're but a mere biological and physical being? That there isn't a spiritual dimension at all? What's a soul? You don't have one. What's a spirit? They don't exist. There's nothing beyond. Again, don't be duped. You're being lied to. Whatever the source, the world, your own heart. Thirdly, of course, the world, when it really matters, will show you no sympathy. It cares nothing for you. And when you need help, when you need some comfort, when you need words to hold on to give you some hope in the face of your greatest adversities, and in particular, your demise and death itself, the world will have nothing to offer you. I hope you don't wait so long as to your last weeks and months to discover this. I hope you can see through the world for what it really is, even now. But I'm taking this from verses 26 to 31 in chapter 18. For here they in their speech to the city, we have this rather weak, almost effeminate response by the Jewish officials. Listen, as they hear the people being challenged and told not to trust in God, then not to believe Hezekiah, then being told Jehovah sent us in the first place, where we're acting on God's instructions. You're under God's judgment and he's going to destroy your city and we're only being obedient to him. Well, the response of the Jewish officials that the king Hezekiah has sent out to have them listen so that they'll relay back to him what's being said. They say this, then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, that's a military term, probably something akin to colonel, head of the army. So they speak to this Rabshakeh and they say, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Now, why are they bleating like that? Well, they're saying, don't discourage our people. We can understand you in your language. Speak to us in Syrian, Syriac. We understand it too. Of course, they get no sympathy with that, do they? Verse 27 says, Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee, just to you and to the king, to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall? Those men that will, because the siege will be so severe and result in such you'll be deprived of so much. You'll be starved out. Why, they'll be eating their own dung and drinking their own urine to survive. Don't they need to know that? Shouldn't those people in that city hear this? So then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, All the louder he begins to speak, and spake, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able you to deliver you out of his hand, and so forth. You see, no sympathy, friends, here. No compassion. No one that's just like the world. And that's what you'll discover it to be if you live without Christ. If you live without his mercy and his grace and pardon, if you never find faith in Christ and be justified before God, come near the end, or indeed in facing great adversity, don't turn to the world and look for help. Don't expect it to have something to tell you that can bring comfort to your troubled heart and soul. Oh, they may dupe you. There may be some little platitudes. Genuine friends may try to speak to bring comfort, but they can't get to the soul. They can't provide that which you truly need. They certainly can provide and give nothing. When it comes to facing death itself, what can they tell you? What can they say? Unless, of course, it's that back to those lies, or out of ignorance, they say it's all well, going to a better place, or he or she's gone to a better place, no longer suffering. Well, that might be true when someone who's dying and suffering greatly physically. Of course, when they die, that stops, but where have they gone? We have to consider the great issue. We are made in the image of God. We have an immortal soul. We must leave the body, the spirit, depart into the presence of God to give an account. Don't listen to the world. It's lies, it's ignorance. No, and you'll find that there's no sympathy out there, nothing real. You'll discover you're on your own. For dying is a very lonely thing. And those that would help cannot. We have our limitations. What can we say? Have we not, many of us already, sat beside the dying? Well, it's been a joy and a privilege to have been enabled to bring some comfort to a believer, to another Christian. And I've sat with some and shared God's word and encouraged them in their faith. And they were looking to Christ anyway. They were trusting and hoping in him. They died with hope. They died with faith in Christ, the very Christ that promised that when they walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would be right there with them. Thou wilt fear no evil, for I am with thee. Indeed, his rod and his staff to comfort. Friend, it's so different for the believer. Overcome the propaganda of the world. Don't be duped. We've made this point over the weeks. Well, let me come just a little further then. So down to verses 29 to 30. So here the world's promises. But first of all, it's preceded by a rebuttal. Now a rebuttal. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his, Sennacherib's, hand. So what does this amount to, in effect? Well, it amounts to this. To bring it up to date, the gospel, Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ doesn't work. There's nothing to it. There's nothing in it. Haven't you heard this from the world? Haven't you heard it from many in it? Or at least you're aware that this is a going belief. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, they say, this being pointed to trust in God and seeking God's help and the promise that God will help you if you call upon him. You don't want to believe that, you folk. Don't believe this Hezekiah when he encourages you to do this. Friend, here's propaganda from the world. Here's what you must overcome. When preachers of the gospel urge individuals to turn to Christ and to cry out to him, to seek him with all their heart, with the promise they will find him, they will be blessed. They'll have wonderful blessings and they will experience these blessings. Why, it's as if the world, and indeed even your own deceitful heart, will be there saying, there's nothing in it. There's nothing to it. This Christianity, this faith in Christ, it just doesn't work. And as for the promises that are made with regards to believing in Christ, it's all fanciful, religious quackery, exaggeration, false claims. And you know what often happens as well. In a situation like this, people will always point to some who have made professions of faith. And they'll say, well, there was a Christian. I knew this particular person. I knew this particular girl or woman, boy or man. And they were into religion in a big way. They professed their faith in Jesus Christ too. And look at them today. What did they get from their religion and their faith? Why talk to them now? They'll tell you how totally disillusioned they were. Well, of course they were. That's not a surprise, friends. I hope that surprises you that I'm saying so. No, if a profession is a false profession, if it's spurious, if they never really sought and found the Lord, however sincere and earnest they thought they were, well, of course there would be nothing in it. But the person that truly repents and trusts the Lord and is united to him by saving faith, oh, they discover the promises are not even doubtful and possibilities and maybes. No, says Scripture itself, all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. They are sure. We have many things to discover yet with regards to our trust and faith in Christ, we that are believing and believers. We have yet to experience many things that are promised to us, but we know we will. We're still alive on earth, but I know come that time when I must depart, that Christ will be with me. I have his promise. I have no doubts that he will keep his promises. He is the Son of God. It is impossible for God to tell a lie. When he promised me and every other Christian, every other believer, that if they would seek and find him, they would be blessed with life here and life more abundantly. Ask a genuine Christian if they did not experience that when they came to saving faith and a real trust in Christ. Were they not blessed with abundant life? Absolutely they were. Did they not have a peace with God that was promised them if they believed? that the burden of their guilt, their sin, would be lifted, and they would have this experience of being reconciled to God and peace with God and joy in their soul. I can tell you that's the experience of every true Christian. This knowledge of forgiveness and pardon, this knowledge of being made right with God, uplifts the heart and soul. God keeps his promises. When he promised that I could pray and would have help to pray, and the Holy Spirit would become my teacher, that the Word of God would come alive to me, did he keep that promise? Absolutely, he did. We love the scriptures. We love the Word. It is our delight and our joy. It is our joy to commune with Almighty God. We have a contentment we never could have had until we came to know him. We have a rest and a peace. All those things, these are realities, friends. No, this is what you must overcome: the propaganda, the denials, the rejection by the world. Live in it no longer. Listen to it no longer. Listen to the Word. So this rebuttal, you know, there's a world of difference between professing Christ and possessing Christ. So to ensure that your profession would not be false, like for some, then begin to earnestly seek. Seek the Lord. Pray to him. Take words. Now I've come to, and my time is almost gone, but that's what I really wanted to finish with. Seek the Lord. The promise is, ye, well, let me come for the sake of time, and I have to do this, the right response to troubling or a threatening challenge to faith and truth is to do what these people did, what Hezekiah did. And we read it at the beginning of chapter 19. He took it to God. He sent his officials to go to speak to someone who would know. That was Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah was able to counsel him with words from God himself. So Isaiah could say, verse 3, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there's not strength to bring forth. Lord, hear these words that are spoken by Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, Rabshakeh, the colonel's master, has sent to reproach the living God. Maybe, Lord, you will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer, and this is urging Isaiah to pray for them, for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and they spread this all out before him, and they say, intercede for us. And Isaiah has a word from God for them. Now that's the thing to do. When you feel threatened or troubled or challenged with regards to faith, if you have doubts, take them to God. Go to a source that has the truth. That's the scripture. These men went to Isaiah. Hezekiah sent them to Isaiah the prophet to urge the prophet to intercede, to have a word from God for them. And they weren't disappointed. God responded. God gave them a promise. God told them not to fear the threatening words of this king, that God himself would deal with this king, as indeed he did. Now then, you go to God. Make that your response to the propaganda. to the fears, to your problems and difficulties with regards to faith. And if you have that great fear, well, perhaps I too would make this false profession. And I know that is a fear for many people. Then seek the Lord. Talk to him about it in your prayer. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you seek in such a way that you truly find him, that you will be blessed of him, that you will truly repent, truly believe, and receive the blessings of God. Initially, of course, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation to him, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will then assure you that you are right with God, who will enable you to pray in a way you've never prayed before, and to address God with an intimacy. These are all evidences of true conversion. Now, act on God's word. Turn to it as your only source of truth and instruction, that you might be right with God. You know, I would encourage you to read this chapter over again that we did read. Read perhaps both chapters, 18 and 19, and see the flow. Listen to the words of God as he sends comforting words back through Isaiah to Hezekiah the king, as he comforts him. How measured, how in control the Lord is. How he tells and assures Hezekiah that he will bless him and help him, that Jerusalem will not be overrun. It will not be taken. It will be spared. Hezekiah will be blessed. He tells him not to fear. You see, God isn't afraid of the challenges, friends. He isn't concerned with these denied by the world and by so-called clever people. God isn't fazed by such things. His wisdom and power are real. He's not a mythological being. He exists. He's there. Real. He is the absolute reality. He can and does what he says he will do. Now go and seek him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. Experience. Don't just look from a distance. No, seek him earnestly. Cry out to him. And if you truly repent and believe, you'll have the experiences that he has promised. To every true and earnest seeker, you will be heard. You will. Your prayer will be heard. You will be saved. If you mean that prayer, if you truly repent, confess your sin, you will be justified. You will have peace. You will experience abundant life. You will be changed and transformed. You will discover his love and life eternal. You will be kept now and forever. Overcome the world's propaganda. Take your concerns and fears to the Lord and cast yourself upon his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. Take words. Do what Hezekiah did. He spread this letter that was sent to him before God and he brought it to God. He sought through the prophet God's counsel, dealing with God. That's your answer. That's the right response. Seek the Lord and his promises. You will find him. Will you trust him? Will you believe him? Will you actually seek? Let's sing our closing hymn. And it's the hymn number 394.